Facing a United Nations deadline, Sudan has less than 2 weeks to prove to the Security Council that it is doing something to rein in the militias accused of ethnic cleansing in the western provinces of Darfur. U.S. officials say they see little progress, setting the stage for another debate at the UN over how or whether to punish Sudan. Despite all the international attention Darfur has received, advocacy groups say the world's response has been too little, too late. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
In these quiet August days in Washington, advocacy groups are getting the word out on Darfur. Jewish, Christian, and Black activists get arrested almost daily outside Sudan's embassy, accusing that government of arming Janjaweed militias in a counterinsurgency war that has forced more than 1 million people from their homes in Darfur. The U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum has been hosting experts just returned from Sudan, among them Fidel Lumaya of Refugees International, who says he's still haunted by the images of women and children living in terrible conditions in Darfur's rainy season.
We came back sick. Sick of parasites, sick of the situation you see, sick because you know that there is no money. You are talking about camp with 80,000 people. But you don't see the plastic sheets. People are living in a condition that is an inhuman situation.
Dick Owens of the U.S. Agency for International Development acknowledges that the international relief effort is vastly underfunded, though the U.S. has allocated more than $190 million for emergency relief in Darfur and neighboring Chad. Owens says part of the problem is that aid groups had to wade through Sudan's bureaucracy.
They burn up all their resources and time and effort and energy for months just trying to get visas, just trying to get travel permits, just trying to get stuff out of customs. Plus the fact that that's the middle of nowhere. I'm sorry. Darfur and Eastern Chad are about as far from anywhere as you can possibly get.
Advocacy groups also argue that the international community has not put nearly enough diplomatic pressure on Sudan to control the militias. John Prendergast of the International Crisis Group says world leaders have spoken passionately about the crisis but have acted too timidly. A UN Security Council resolution only holds out the threat of sanctions, and the African Union, which has offered peacekeepers, has only been able to send bodyguards for ceasefire monitors. Prendergast called on the Bush administration to lead a major diplomatic push to force Sudan to accept African peacekeepers.
The killing will continue unless the calculations of the regime in Khartoum can be immediately altered. And this is done most effectively, I think, by ending all these threats and these warnings and these timelines and imposing now specific measures that introduce accountability into the equation.
He said the UN should authorize a no-fly zone so that Sudan's Air Force can no longer provide cover for Janjaweed militias, and he called for an arms embargo on Sudan and for targeted sanctions against government officials linked to the crisis. The Security Council has been divided over the issue of sanctions, however, and Francis Deng, a special UN envoy and an expert on refugees at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, points out the difficulty of trying to hold government officials accountable.
When you begin to identify the names of the people, they go pretty high. And the question is, how realistic is it that you get those who are probably part of the backbone of the government and bring them to trial? Do you really think that the government is going to do that without being self-destruct? Some of the names are very senior people, and some of them are said to be crucial also to the peace process.
A peace process meant to halt a separate, decades-old civil conflict between the Khartoum government and rebels in the south. The crisis in western Sudan has complicated the final stages of that north-south peace process, with some in Washington now saying the Khartoum government can't be trusted as a negotiating partner and should be forced out of office. But Deng, who's from southern Sudan, argues against regime change, saying it's simply too risky. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.